Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Maybe, possibly, potentially. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show is on the radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob, Lonzo, and you. Be a part of the show. Texter said, Ryan Day is the Rodney Dangerfield of college football. Hashtag no respect. That's not wrong.
Yeah, he definitely doesn't
That's
get it.
That's not wrong. Yeah, that's not wrong at all, to be honest with you.
Well, think about the shoes he filled when, I mean, he had to follow Urban Meyer. Whether you like him or not.
I don't.
He was really good at Ohio State and at every college team that he was on. So, I mean, you know. So, I mean, expectations are always high at Ohio State. But
I don't dislike him because he's a bad coach. That's not the reason at all. I dislike him because I think he's full of crap. That's a different, that's a very different reason. Hey, in case I haven't made that clear in all the years. Yup. Yup. I mean, but, you know, I really hope he's spending more time with his family. You know, that thing that he ditched a school to go do and then was on TV in a full-time gig a week later. I really do hope he spends more time with his family.
Oh, I thought you were talking because of that blonde dancing in the bar thing.
I mean, listen, I will keep it a buck with you. I don't judge that aspect of people's life because people are into their own things. I'm quite literally friends with a couple who have both given each other permission to go sleep with other people. It's their life. It ain't mine to judge. I am very much a stay out of other people's bedrooms kind of guy. Do you think? Now, do I suspect that Herb's, you know, enjoys heading out to the playground and doing a little swinging? No. But that ain't up to me to judge and decide. It's the everything else that's been an issue for me. Although he did give us one of the greatest television moments of all time. The bong rip on the boat.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. What one of the greatest moments in TV history? Yeah,
that noise could be interpreted as a lot of things. Thank you for explaining what you were doing.
Well, you looked at me very confused about it.
Yeah, because I didn't know exactly what that was.
Yeah,
I
mean, when Herb was on his boat doing an interview and very clearly a fat, yes, which some people would confuse for a water cooler.
Yes.
But very clearly,
but it's closer to it than whatever you just did.
It's just Herb's buddy ripping a fat one off a bong in the background. Hey, speaking of that sound, sounding eerily similar to a water cooler, but clearly being a bong rip. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time. It is time for your water cooler cheat sheet. And he had an Herb quote in there. And the water cooler cheat sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office this lovely Tuesday, January 14, 2025. Yesterday was the first day that I had to write down day, month, year, and I got it right.
Yeah, I started off the year misstating some things, mm-hmm. and some things almost didn't play, mm-hmm. which happens every single year, so I'm not blaming it on my age.
Mm-hmm.
It's all and other people where I had to say, check your year.
Mm-hmm. Yesterday, January 14th, 2 weeks. It took me 2 weeks to get to where I went, oh, yeah, that's right, it's 2025. It's also 7:04 in the morning. You got 55 minutes to be to the office, and you need to know what's going on. Let us kick it off with item numero uno. The sixth and final spot, at least sixth spot won by a wild card round winner, as there are obviously eight spots in the divisional round of the NFL's playoffs, but two of them were claimed by the one seeds. Detroit's on the NFC side, Kansas City on the AFC side. Thank you very much. I am good at this job. The final spot in the next round was claimed last night by the LA Rams. Yeah! Who got a 27-9 win over the Minnesota Vikings, predominantly by kicking the crap out of poor Sam Darnold last night. 25 of 40, 245 yards, one tutty, one pick. By the way, about 50 of those yards came at the end of the fourth quarter in hot garbage time when this game was very clearly done and cooked and over. Sam Darnold got sacked nine times. That is not a verbal typo. That is not a speako. Nine times.
You said it was tied. Who's it tied with?
I don't know. They just kept saying it was tied for the NFL record all time last night, and they didn't ever explain to me who it was with.
I'm pretty sure I know, but I'm going to look it up.
Is it the Chiefs?
I'm pretty sure, yeah, against Dave Craig. At least it was for a while.
Damn, Lonzo's got the specifics. I like that. I like that. I'll see if I can find that as I continue to tell you about this 27-9 victory by the LA Rams over the Minnesota Vikings last night. You shouldn't have been surprised. I broke this game, diagnosed this game, gave you the exact way that the LA Rams were going to win this game last night. They were plus 115 on the money line for an outright upset, and they got it done. How? Attack, attack, attack. Make Sam Darnold see ghosts. Get those eyes out of the defensive backfield and down to the pass rush. And that's exactly what they did behind Jared Verse, who had a scoop and score. Tutty, what do you want? I told you the morning after the Detroit game, last Tuesday, I said, yo, the Rams are winning this game. That's not a question mark. That's a statement. That's not a prognostication. That's not a prediction. That's a statement of fact. The Rams are winning this game because the Rams are, and I mean this, the best coach team in the National Football League. Not the best on paper. I think there's a lot of coaches that if you transplanted them in Los Angeles, California, in charge of the LA Rams, the Rams ain't making the playoffs. They ain't winning the NFC West. Yeah, they're only a 10-win team. But here's the thing. They're not anywhere close to the most talented team on paper. But they are the most well-coached team in the NFL. I firmly believe that. And as soon as the Lions put onto paper the blueprint on how to beat the Minnesota Vikings, I immediately said a couple of things. Number one, Sean McVay knows your kryptonite. You're cooked. Number two, Jared Verse is going to have himself a day with a capital D. Jared Verse had a scoop and score tutty and a couple of sacks in this game. Nine of them when it was all said and done.
I'm a little confused. So the team had nine sacks, right?
Correct.
According to the internet, the Philadelphia Eagles have the most sacks by a team in a game with 14 sacks.
Playoff game.
Ah, okay, yeah. Playoff game.
Yeah, tied for most sacks in an NFL playoff game is nine.
And the individual sack record, which is what I was thinking of, seven, is Derek Thomas against Dave Craig.
Team sacks in a playoff game, the Rams tied that all-time high last night with nine of them. They got to Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold was the same Sam Darnold that was there last week. The Sam Darnold that is now not getting a $100 million contract last year, as so many of y'all said that he was going to earlier this year. And I said, yo, maybe hold your horses just a little bit. Let's do something before we get there. Item number two.
I was still doing the thing.
Yeah, I know.
So, I mean, because I was
you're not R&D over there.
It's not a rabbit hole.
Mike McCarthy will not be returning to the Dallas Cowboys as the head coach. The Reports coming in last night that those two entities were unable to reach an agreement on a new contract. It was reported yesterday that Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys could not get there. Mike McCarthy was going to be, in his opinion, underpaid. You know how JJ operates. He's more about money than success. We'll talk about that in a moment. Mike McCarthy is expected to interview with the Chicago Bears for their head coaching job. Now, that's not the story. That's not the item on the water cooler cheat sheet. This is.
I've been saying that all year. This is no shocker if this happens. I think the biggest question is, how do they trade Dak Prescott away in order to get Shador there?
Question is, how do they get Shador? How do you get him? You're not drafting anywhere near inside
right,
the top three.
Right.
And there
if
are
you
only...
can package Dak Prescott with some other things to move up. I was looking earlier at draft order trying to see who would need a quarterback and how they would do it. I'm sure there's a possibility.
The draft order as it stands right now, and I was talking about this with somebody yesterday. Tennessee, do they need a quarterback? No. There's a lot of Tennessee folks that still think Will Levis can be that guy. Will Levis had some moments for the Titans. He also had some absolute catastrophes for that team. But that team is also, and this is true, not very good.
He also has an amazing fragrance, which we haven't smelled yet, but it's, you know.
Perfume de mayo.
Yeah.
Will Levis may or may not be the guy. I think the Titans are willing to listen to offers for number one. Here's the thing. The Dallas Cowboys are drafting number 12. Do you know how much capital they will have to put into it to jump to one overall? The Cleveland Browns, they're going to have to go get a quarterback now. Deshaun Watson tore his Achilles again. So even if they were willing to stick with Deshaun Watson, which is, and hear me out on this, there's a technical term for this, dumber than hell. Is the technical term.
I've heard that before.
Yeah, dumber than hell. If they decide to be dumber than hell and keep Deshaun Watson, do you know what you'd have to trade to get to 12-2? The New York Giants are going to have a quarterback. New England set, Jacksonville set, Las Vegas needs a quarterback at number 6. I would make the argument the Jets are going to need a quarterback at number 7.
So there are all those possibilities of teams that may go, Dak Prescott has proven, yeah, I'll trade you for him.
Dak's on the table, but here's the thing. Dak Prescott, who has been a wonderful regular season quarterback, the narrative is the narrative around Dak Prescott for a reason. If you're going to put your eggs in the Dak Prescott basket and drop back to the number 12 pick, what else does Dallas have to come off of? And the question is, for Gerald, who has got to make this decision, because he said it multiple times, I'm the decision maker around here. Keep it up, JJ. You're doing great, sweetie. How valuable is Deion to Dallas? Because if I'm, pick one of those teams we talked about. The Giants at 3.
All right.
Who, by the way, Shador was wearing Giants cleats in his bowl game. So he's already got the talks going.
What do you think about the crop of quarterbacks coming in?
It sucks. There's two. Shador is one of them.
Right.
Shador and Cam Ward.
So if you look at that and go, okay, there's not really that any quarterbacks that we can build a future around, why not go and get a proven guy? I just think it'd be a lot of teams that be willing to trade for Dak.
Again, I'm not disagreeing with you. You are correct. But Dak is not, you're not going from 12 to 4 as with Dak Prescott as the pick.
Oh no, there's going to be more, but I think
not more. A lot more.
They'd probably go with future picks more so than this draft. Maybe one more in this draft and then a bunch of future picks.
So my question here is, if I'm the Dallas Cowboys, and I say this sincerely, how much am I willing to gamble on a head coach who's never been a head coach at the NFL and is a sub-500 record college coach?
Had Jimmy Johnson ever been a head coach in the NFL?
No.
So, no, I'm saying for this reason. He has gambled before.
I understand. But I'm not, listen, okay, let me reset. This is not me saying no, okay? Let me make it clear. This is not me saying no. This is me saying, if Deion, and by the way, we're having this whole argument under the assumption that Deion says, yes, if I can go get Shador.
He took the phone call.
He did take the phone call. And again,
he's admitted he took the phone call.
I am fine with the assumption that Deion says, Jerry, I'll come down to the Big D, and I do mean Dallas, but I'm only doing it if you bring Shador with me. You got to go, whatever it takes, you got to go get Shador and get him there. Whatever it takes. Let's work under that assumption. And the only way to guarantee that is to what? Go to number one overall. To trade with Tennessee, right? And Tennessee, again, I think Tennessee might be willing to do it. I think they bought into Will Levis. So if the assumption is, I'll come to the D, but you got to go get me Shador, which means Jay's got to go to number one overall to guarantee, because...
What if Shador's not, is not the thing? Maybe it's Travis Hunter.
Again, we're working on it. I understand that. We're working on an assumption. But you and I both know good and bleeping well it's not. We both know that. He's not... Deion has been, and I will give him credit for one thing. Deion's been about Deion's babies since Deion started becoming a coach. There ain't no arguing that. He's been a, I'm about my boys. And I respect that. I'm not hating on him for it.
But he's not doing the typical dad thing, following his kids and then doing poorly. He's following his kids and doing well. So, I mean, come on. He turned Colorado around.
Let's relax a little bit. They're a 500 team. They're not even 500. Granted, they were a one-win team. They are 500.
Dude.
I forgot what they did.
They had a chance to win the division this year.
They didn't have a chance to win the conference this year. Yeah, that is correct.
I mean,
I will also point out,
did
though,
you flashback to last year or something?
Yeah, I did. I'm not gonna lie. I 100% did. I already told you. I got lost in the sauce. I think that. You're right. I will give Deion Sanders a ton of credit in that Colorado did finish 9-4. 9-4. So for a with the bowl game included, for what that team was whatever, yes, Deion Sanders has done a commendable job.
That's an amazing turnaround compared to what they were.
Not even disagreeing with that. Of course, they played the easiest schedule in the Big 12 to get there, and every time they played a team that was even decent, they lost. So I am going to say, just like I have with a lot of other coaches, let's hold the horses a little bit.
So if he brings that to Dallas, how would it be any different?
Because ain't Big 12 college football.
No, you're missing the point. If he brings them back to mid, that's where they always are anyway.
Well, dude, Dallas is like a regular 10. They didn't do it this year, but they're a regular 10-game winner. They just stink in the playoffs. And again, is Deion said, put all that to bed. I want to get back to where I started this. Let's be real clear about this. This is not me saying no. This is me saying, what's the price you're willing to pay? What's the price you're willing to pay? Because if Deion's thing is, I'll come, but you got to bring my boy with me, or my boys, because Shiloh's going too. But if he's saying, I'm going to go, but you got to bring Shador with me, is JJ willing to say, we're going to pay you Deion Sanders money, and we're willing to pull a Dicka and trade our entire, because this is what Tennessee's going to want. And they won't be the only suitor, because there's two quarterbacks in this draft that are first-round picks to me, Shador and Cam Ward. And I don't even think either one of them is like necessarily like break the bank to go get them at one. I think they both are potential guys, right? They're potential guys. Are you willing, if you are Dallas, to throw a king's ransom at Tennessee to go get Shador to guarantee Deion Sanders, who, by the way, is a completely unknown commodity as an NFL coach? Because I think what here's the thing.
It's not are you, is Jerry willing to do
well,
that?
Obviously, I'm not asking if Lonzo is willing to make that move for the Cowboys, because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I want. It doesn't matter what anybody but JJ wants.
I would make the move.
See, I don't think I would. I don't think I would. The problem you have is with Jarrah waiting until the 14th of January to make a move. All the other big names are I'm not saying off the board, because Aaron Glenn's out there and Ben Johnson's out there, and that's
maybe
all well and good.
Maybe he had to wait till Deion said yes before he did it. I know he's not supposed
record,
to do that.
Deion ain't said yes. Deion said, I quote, I took the call. It was intriguing.
You're missing the point.
Oh, you think they've already agreed on it?
That's what I mean. If you do that, if you know that's happening, then you go ahead and fire the guy.
By the way, can I also point out that if Deion Sanders leaves Colorado as his boys are leaving Colorado, I will be officially convinced that I am allowed to say on this microphone, Deion Sanders is full of crap. Because remember, when it got to Jackson State, it was, oh, I'm here to elevate HBCs. Let me finish. When he got to Jackson, he said, I'm here to elevate HBCs. The second he was done there, he took off, he left. He said, screw you guys, I'm out. Then he goes to Colorado. What's he been saying? I'm here about the kids. I'm here to make good young men. I'm here about the kids. And then his kids leave, and he's right out the door at Colorado, too. Deion Sanders is full of crap. Are we good with that? Let's take a break. Back after this, we'll talk about it on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The Rob Brown Show continues right here on the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you will be a part of the show. 844-326-3663. 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E. That's how you get on the radio program. You can also text that number should you wish to do so. Text 844-326-3663. Texas said Jerry Jones will get a ton of attention from hiring Deion, so he would definitely hire him. He's all about attention. You're not wrong, Texter, but I'm going to change one word of your text. I'm going to change the word attention to Lonzo. Money. Jerry Jones is about money. Jerry Jones is the definition of I have this team as an investment. Now, he said
primetime equals cash, man.
Yes, it does.
It does.
Let's be very clear, and I'm not just hanging this on JJ. There's a lot of owners like this who I had this conversation, I think, on Twitter last night. The biggest separation betwixt fans and owners, the biggest separation between fan and owners, is that fans love their team out of a passion and a desire for W's. Owners love their team as investments. They love their team to make money. Now, there are some that are committed to winning, but make no mistake about this. The majority of them love their teams and have a commitment to winning because winning sells stuff. Winning gets you on national television. Winning gets you bandwagon fans. It puts butts in seats. Yada, 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 yada. It makes you money. They are money driven. And Jerry Jones is one of those people. You will note, do you know the reason that Dallas has changed nothing in the 30 years since they last won a Super Bowl? In the, how long has it been since they last won more than one playoff game in a row? How many years has it been? They still are featured all the time. You know how I know that? Because even knowing that and hating it, here we are. In one of the three most important segments of the day, the 7 o'clock hour is the money hour of this show, right? I get all y'all driving to work in the AM. It's the money hour of the show. And in the money hour of the show in Greenville, South Carolina, in Spartanburg, South Carolina, in the surrounding metro million-plus person market, I kind of feel obligated to talk about this. As much as I do not think they are America's team, as much as I think we spend an inordinate amount of time on this team, this story has to be talked about. And just like with Colorado, when Deion showed up in over the past 2 years, if Deion Sanders is wearing the headset, he becomes the story. It just is. Positive or negative, it doesn't matter. It gets it. Do you think that the NFL would not give the Dallas Cowboys their full, what is it you can play? I think a max of 9 national games per year. I think 9's the number, the most national primetime slots that an NFL team can have. I promise you, Dallas is going to have more primetime games than anybody else if primetime is their head coach, without a doubt. So I agree with that text. JJ would absolutely make this hire. That's not the question. The question is Deion taking this job without conditions? If the answer is no, then what are those conditions? And is one of them, I want Shador. I'm going to have Shador as my quarterback. And if that is the question, is JJ willing to trade a king's ransom to the Tennessee Titans to guarantee him, right? Because there's the other aspect of this, which is, all right, there's two quarterbacks right now. And again, I don't think either one of them is necessarily franchise material. I think Cam Ward has a better chance at being a franchise quarterback than Shador Sanders does. I don't think either one of those two is a guy that I'm not locking him down the way I did Jaden Daniels and Lamar Jackson. Is these guys are guaranteed bona fide franchise quarterbacks. So if the answer to that is no, are they willing to trade a king's ransom to Tennessee for a guy that might be to ensure they get Deion Sanders? And on top of that, they got to go to one. Because I'll tell you what I'm doing if I'm Tennessee. If they call me, if Jerry Jones calls me today, knowing that he's got to get Shador, and I'm the GM of the Titans, and he calls me and he goes, hey, big dog, I want to get to one and get Shador. What do you want for it? You know what I'm saying? Every pick you have this year. I'm serious. I want every pick you've got. I want a Mike Ditka for Ricky Williams style deal. And if he goes, Rob Brown, esteemed, respected general manager of the Tennessee Titans, you know I can't make that deal. Do you know what I say to him? Okay, we'll draft Shador. That's my selling point. Here's the deal, Jarrah. You give me what I want for the number one overall pick, or I draft Shador Sanders with the number one overall. And here's the thing. I know what that pick means to you. I know what that pick means to you, and I am even, because here's the thing. If there has been an NFL dad since Archie that would be willing to hold an NFL team hostage by saying, my kid's not playing for you, it's Deion Sanders, who has already started to do that. He's already done it. So even if Deion calls me, hey, Rob Brown, handsome and very intelligent general manager of the Tennessee Titans, if you draft Shador, I just want you to know he's not playing for you. Okay. All right. That's fine. You better get on home with JJ then, because I'm telling you right now, I'm drafting him and I'm not revoking the rights to him. He will sit out of the NFL for whatever the length, what is it, 4 years, whatever the length of time is, he will sit out of the NFL. We will not give his rights away. So you can tell JJ, get on the horn, give me what I want, and we will give you the number one pick, and Shador goes to Dallas, and Boingo Bango. There you have it. They're now the Dallas Sanders. It's all yours. Or JJ doesn't come through. I am telling you right now, we are drafting Shador because we need a quarterback. I'm lying. But we need a quarterback. We believe he's one of two, and we believe he's better than Cam Ward, so we're taking him. And if he doesn't play down, that's on you. That's your call. He loses out on 4 years of Deion money because you and JJ won't make the trade we want. It's your call. That's how I'm handling that. So the question is, Jerry Jones, who's about that money and knows Deion makes you the number one most followed story by Americans coming into the season next year, is a full draft class or somewhere close to it worth getting that number one overall selection and taking Shador to bring Deion down? And is our assumption that Deion would say yes to this pending Shador valid and fair? Is there a chance Deion goes, hey, my son's a professional now. I can't be a helicopter dad who also owns a helicopter. I can't do that. I can't be hanging around his career when he's in the NFL. So if he goes somewhere else, he goes somewhere else, and I'll play him once every couple of years. I don't know. But based on everything Deion's been saying and doing so far, going on tours, taking tours of franchises with his kid, I got to believe Deion will do it, but only if he gets to bring his boy with him. All right, we'll see how it plays out. When we come back, controversial call early in that game last night between the Rams and the Vikings. Let's address that when we come back on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. NFL wild card round concluding last night with the Rams taking on the Minnesota Vikings. The Rams win 27-9 in a game that really was never close. In that game, there was a controversial call against it wasn't a penalty. There was a controversial call on a play where Matthew Stafford, quarterback for the LA Rams, dropped back to pass. The lead was 10 at this point. Minnesota got on the board with a field goal. Then a splashy play looked like it might have turned the momentum around in that game. Stafford dropped back to pass, up 10-3. Vikings defensive end Jonathan Greenard got to Stafford for a sack, and the Rams quarterback appeared to fumble the ball. And I say appeared to fumble the ball because according to the people on the football field that had like whistles and striped shirts and stuff, they came back and said that he did not fumble the ball. Here is what was heard on the Manning cast on ESPN while this played out. A couple of things from that clip. Number one, the irony of the benefactor of the tuck rule saying, oh, you know, help the offense, no help for the defense, is hilarious. It's off the charts. It's off the charts ironic. Hilarious. Like, Alanis Morissette's going to write an entire new song about how ironic it is that Hoodie's complaining that defenses don't get help.
He was right, though.
I'm not saying he's wrong.
No, when he said they're going to call it a pass.
Oh, yeah.
He was right.
Let's be clear. I'm not saying Hoodie called that perfectly. But here's the thing. It was the right call. My phone blew up last night. When this was being discussed. This is a call that I think they got right. And I think they got it right for a few reasons. Number one, the pass definitely went forward. We all agree on that. If nothing else, we agree that the ball landed further down the football field, if only by a yard. The ball landed further down the football field than where it left Stafford's arm from. Number two, I have heard this pass called underhanded a few times, as in literally, not like a shady under the table pass. No, it was an underhanded pass. It wasn't. While Stafford was facing down, because he was bent in half falling forward with these face mask facing the grass, that arm did come forward up the football field. And number three, shockingly, There was a receiver in the area. And somebody made the argument last night. I don't remember if it was on TV or on social media or what. But somebody made the argument last night that Sam Darnold could not see that there was a receiver in the area. It doesn't matter. That's not what the rule is. The rule is receiver in the area. Doesn't matter if the quarterback sees him or not. By every metric with which we use to determine if a pass was forward or not and if there was a receiver in the area, it met every metric of a forward incomplete pass. I don't think they got it wrong. I think they got it right. Now, did it flip that game on its head? Absolutely. Would that have been 10-7? 10-10 in that spot? Minnesota's not just back in that game. They're in that game. They're in that game at that point. Doesn't matter. The pass was the pass. This is interesting, though. Here's what I took away from it. What I found interesting was that in a moment where the NFL, the broadcast, whatever, could have gone out of the way. And if I recall correctly, I think Buck and Aikman both said, yeah, they got that call right on the primary broadcast. I was watching the Manning cast. But on the primary broadcast, I believe Buck and Aikman both said, yeah, you may not like it. It may not look, you know, traditional, but they got that call right. The fact that Bill Belichick, the Super Bowl winningest coach in the history of the NFL, Bill Belichick effectively, Lonzo, enhanced the conspiracy theory, right? Because there were a lot of people on social media last night that were running with the theory. And if there is one person in America that believes that at least one time the NFL made the call. And by the way, quick refresher. I mean, I don't remember think about every single day with an anger and rage that burns as brightly as a thousand suns the worst missed pass interference call in the history of the National Football League. But can any of you recall what team was the beneficiary of that missed call? The Los Angeles Rams. So here's Rodgers' favorite franchise again in a spot where there's a scoop and score that makes this a tied ball game and effectively kills all the momentum the Rams built early in this game at that spot. And there's this weird call. There's this weird, weird call. And in this weird call going down, the Rams appear to be the beneficiary. Now, again, I don't think this was a conspiracy. And you know I'm the first person to call for at least one play. The belief that, yeah, there was a conspiracy against my team. Not against my team. It just happened to be my team that was the victim of the conspiracy to get Rodgers' favorite franchise into the Super Bowl in their first year in L.A. I'm glad they got their asses kicked. I don't think last night was a conspiracy. But that's not even what's interesting. What's interesting is that as of right now, when it comes to the National Football League, is there a more recognizable talking head on television than Bill Belichick? I don't think the answer is yes. There's a lot of NFL talking heads for sure. But are any of them more of a household name than Bill Belichick? The answer to that question is no. Now, Hoodie is not connected to the NFL anymore. There is rumors that Hoodie is interested in the Dallas job and that Hoodie could be on his way to the Big D, and I do mean Dallas, and could leave UNC high and dry. I don't believe it, but there is rumor that Hoodie has reached out and expressed interest in the Dallas Cowboy job. But as of today, this day, January 14, 2025, Bill Belichick's not connected to the NFL. However, he is right now, I believe, the most household recognized NFL talking head. And here's Hoodie on the Manning cast, which is, again, not as watched as the primary telecast, but still a very watched Monday Night Football broadcast. Here's Hoodie on the telecast. Is it unfair to say, Lonzo, that while he never directly said it, is it unfair to say that Bill Belichick right there enhance the conspiracy theory that the NFL gets involved in games in which they have a preferred winner?
There's one guy who would recognize what would be considered cheating. It would be Bill Belichick.
I think last night's a problem for the NFL because the most recognizable talking head, and you can say it's because he's won a fistful of Super Bowl rings and then one more. You can say it because he is one of the most winningest coaches of all time. You can say it because Hoodie's on like 15 different shows and podcasts right now. You can say it because even my wife, who's not a big NFL gal, she's a Saints gal because she married me, but not a big NFL gal. Even my wife, who is not a big NFL gal, is all about the Bill Belichick drama, right? She's all about it. She's all about the Bill Belichick drama because of his college-aged, soon-to-be, if you believe reports, fiance. She's all about the drama because of the burning bridges in the NFL. She asked me not terribly long ago, could the Saints hire Bill Belichick? I was like, no, babe, nah. And I gave her all my reasons, same as I've given you on the show. And she's like, oh, so there's drama. Yes, there is. Yes, there is. There's drama. And here's Hoodie on a broadcast with two of the most recognizable broadcasters, Peyton and Eli, maybe even more recognizable than Peyton and Eli, effectively spouting the conspiracy theory that the NFL, and by the way, he set it up unintentionally or not, I don't know. It's not that he said, well, you can't help the defense. This is an offensive-minded league, all of which most of us believe already. It's not that he said that. It's that he said what? This call didn't come from here. They didn't go under the hood. They didn't go check the monitor. They didn't go look at the replay. That call came from New York. Now, all of us who are football bros, we know that there's an HQ in New York. There's an eye in the sky that has access to every camera in that building, and they can buzz the ref and go,
hey, Bill, you got that wrong, Bill. Flip that call for us, Bill.
We all know that. But the way that Hoodie put it, they didn't look at it, they didn't check it, they didn't replay it, they did not have a discussion with the people in New York. New York just made the call. Hey, flip that call over. Flip that call over. We're going to call that incomplete. And at a moment where LA, and again, as much as I don't want to work this into it, it would be foolish not to. In a heavy emotional game with all that's going on in Los Angeles, California with the wildfires right now. In a very emotional game that meant a lot for LA, Rodgers' favorite franchise, in a very emotional game, for that call to come down in that spot with no communication with the on-field officiating crew, just a, hey, go ahead and flip that call over on its head, and for Hoodie to point that out and make it known that that's a call that comes from New York, and you can't argue it, and you can't yell about it, and you can't yell at them because they are on the other side of the continent right now, for him to point all of that out, bad look for the league. Bad look for the league. However, it was the right call. It was the right call. It was a forward pass into the area of an eligible receiver by every metric. It doesn't matter that he was bent over, falling forward, staring at the grass in the process. None of that matters. What matters is the ball left the hand, which was traveling in a forward passing motion, and the ball went forward and landed at the feet of a receiver. That, by definition, was an incomplete pass. They got the call right. I just find it interesting that there's enough of a belief that there are conspiracy theories about the NFL being rigged that Bill Belichick effectively enhanced that. Texter said, Rob, I think either before or later on that drive, there was an unnecessary roughness on a Rams offensive lineman, and they ruled it a late hit, but the play was still going on, so I don't know how that was a late hit. So the Rams also had, there was a couple of bad calls in this game. That incomplete pass was not one of them. That call was correct. You know what else is correct? The feeling you get in the deep, dark cockles of your heart when Lonzo reads a sports flash.
Bill still gets scripts. That's how he knew. The final spot in the NFL's division round was claimed last night by the LA Rams with a 27-9 win over the Minnesota Vikings. Matt Stafford threw for 209 yards and a pair of touchdowns while the defense picked off Vikings quarterback Sam Darnold, sacked him 9 times, and recovered a fumble that was returned for a touchdown. The Rams will face the Eagles in Philly next weekend. The Clemson Tigers are working to finalize a contract with their new defensive coordinator, current Penn State DC, Tom Allen. ESPN reports the two sides have been in negotiations and are expected to reach a decision in the upcoming days. Allen has spent 1 year in State College, where the Nittany Lions defense is ranked in the top 10 in scoring defense, rush defense, and total defense. Tune in tomorrow night at 6:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the East Tennessee State Buccaneers. It's Furman versus ETSU right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball, The Fan, Upstate.